Also, I come back to the NBC network, the iHeartRadio, the podcasters channel. I mean, today we're going to be all over the place. The glamour channel, because someone that I have with me is glamorous. And, I mean, someone who has over 200 episodes of TV, thousands of weekly radio shows, a best-selling book, and the latest addition to one of the longest shows on TV, ABC's General Hospital. And I have with me Andy Page, who you might know as Pearl on the show. Andy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm thrilled to be with you. I really appreciate this time.
Well, no. The honor, the privilege, I mean, everything is mine, because I mean, having you on the show. And I know, as you and I discussed, that you have a limited number of podcasts that you're going on. And so we're honored to have you, literally. And you do have a lot to offer to our audiences because of the stuff that you've done. I mean, between being, I didn't mention something else. You're also an inventor, and you have an invention there. I mean, there's quite a bit. You've been on QVC. That's one of your, longest, I guess, journeys in the TV and in the work that you do. And I think you're mimicking some of that in the show. So before we get into the details, who is Andy Page other beyond what I just described here?
That's very interesting. No one hardly ever asked me that question. So who am I? I'm a God girl. I am, a very tall girl from a small town in Alabama who just got really lucky. I am a bonus mom. I am a wife. I'm a carbon farmer. And I'm also a beauty and style expert. And to that end, I have been so fortunate, as you mentioned, I've done, years and years of television. I have been on radio for over 2 decades. And I have a best-selling book, as you mentioned. The Girly Go Garter is my patented invention. Currently, I am a guest host on QVC, and I also play the role of Pearl on General Hospital. So I'm a little bit of everything, and I'm not done. I mean, this is my very first acting job at the age of 54. And who knows what's next? My philosophy has always been that, if God gives me the idea, he will also give me the path to make it happen. So I want to live to be 100, and I'm very excited about the next 46 years.
Hold on, I gotta absorb that. That's powerful stuff. I mean, for our audiences, what you just heard is true determination and ambition. I mean, really, because success is something you've known already. I mean, it's something that you've achieved. In obviously, success is defined different ways. Everybody has their own way of doing that. But really, I mean, in a lot of measures, you have been there. I mean, from being on TV, doing the work that you've done. Being an inventor is not easy. I mean, I do have an invention, so I know the process is not easy. And even just to be creative enough to build stuff, and that's your brand, and you have, a couple of products out there that are selling. That's that we can talk about just that entrepreneurial piece of it. The fact that you are, as you said, 54, and you're just getting your first acting role, and it's not a too shabby role. I mean, it's a very nice role in a very, how do you, well, I guess, viewed show. I mean, it's. I think it's one of the longest, shows on ABC's. So it's a big deal, and so that's, and this is like to you. I love that. This is just the beginning. I want more, and you said you've been on radio, which is true. I mean, that's another one. Radio alone is a world in its own, and so you've been there, and it is, not so. So my question really now is, like, how did you get into all this? Because, it's not like you woke up one day like, this is what I want to do. How did it all happen? Because there is a journey to every success story, and something triggered you. I mean, you said your mom, you do all the regular stuff, but you have all this extra stuff that you've kind of, mapped up in your life to date. So how does that work? How did you do it? I mean, what was the motivation to get even on TV? Was that something that you wanted to do, or was that something that you did by trade? Tell us, tell the audiences.
Well, I'm happy to take you on that journey, but I want to ask you, you ask a very big question. How do you define success? Like, what do you think success is?
Ooh, I love that. You see, that's an expert right now. Well, so to me, success is if it's not, there's no one definition of success. Success is what you seek in your life, and get it done, achieve it. That's all there is. It could be a step, literally, for someone who may be not walking, and maybe through a trauma or whatever. waking up in the morning could be success for someone who may be sick or maybe through some hardship, coma, whatever. And I'm going extreme, but success can be little things. You know, it's just a little small achievements or large achievements. But everybody looks at when someone has made it, you know, into the light, you know, and then into the bigger, you know, screen and, you know, around the yeah. world, and people know you by name, by visual, you know. I mean, that's kind of like, you know, what we know. But really, there are people that are successful in everyday life, being successful in a relationship, being successful as a parent, being successful as a son or a daughter, being successful, you know, as just a neighbor and someone in your daily lives. There's so many ways. So for me, the definition of success is really obtaining and attaining things that you seek in life and really get there. That's all there is. And yes. Now, it could be a business as well. Can be, you know, everything else, being an entrepreneur, you know. That's a big one. I mean, it's not easy. People think, oh, I'm going to go in business. Try it. It's not easy.
No, it's not easy. But you bring up a really good point. You know, to me, success is, you know, meeting a goal. And the best way to give yourself confidence is to set more goals for yourself. Because what happens is every time you reach that goal, you realize I can do this. It bolsters, it fortifies you. So I have always been a goal setter and a list maker. And it really does continue to just help me believe that I can, if I set my mind to it, I can do it. And so it's not about the big accomplishments. It's the little accomplishments that add up. You know, we just had the New York Marathon. I decided in my late 30s that I wanted to run a marathon. And that is a wonderful goal for anybody to set for themselves. So, you know, success, I think everyone can have success in their life. It's just a matter of setting the goals. And it's true. I have set some pretty big goals for myself, which it came because of the smaller goals, right? So when I was able to achieve the smaller things, I then had more confidence to stretch a little more and to try a little more. So it's really, you know, setting those goals, acknowledging yourself, and you begin to have a lot of faith in what you're doing and faith in your ability to absolutely make it happen, make some rain, right? So I think all of your listeners are probably successful in some way. It's just, do they look at it that do they really understand and look at it that way? And so if you take every day and recognize all the successes, then you will ultimately want more and more, which is what I do. So it is true. I like I said, I've set lots of goals for myself, but you know, I started out in a very small town in Alabama. I'm very lucky that God made me tall because I was 5'11" by the time I was 10 years old, which was a little awkward. But I got really kind of pushed into sports. And so sports is where I kind of started to achieve my first goals. And I started to build my first level of confidence. I, you know, realized pretty quickly that there were lots of opportunities for a tall, skinny girl. So, you know, by the time I was 17, I dropped out of high school. I am a high school dropout. And I moved to New York with signing my first modeling contract, which I'm very, very grateful for. That had never been anything that my family had ever, you know, told me no one had even told me I was attractive. I mean, being 5'11" in the fifth grade, I was very awkward. So when someone told me that, you know, there was a possibility of me attaining something that seemed like just a magical dream, I went after it. So I dropped out of high school, I got my GED, and I immediately got into college at the age of 17. So that's how it all started.
You know, I mean, I have to take a breather here and break that down because there's so much stuff that you just mentioned here. And I love how you simplified the definition of success. And I think you and I, we aligned on that one as everybody is successful. And it's really what their goals are, you know, and some are small goals. And by the way, small goals are good enough,
great,
you know, for someone,
yes,
to get them, because you might not want, you can't take the whole world at once, but you can take one little step, you know, a bite.
Yes.
So it's the same thing, right? So that works. And a lot of people sometimes, I can't do this, you know, or they hear a lot of negativity around them and so on and so forth. And therefore it kind of inhibits their abilities to go forward. And they think that they're just failures, which, by the way, I do not believe in the word failure. Personally, failure is part of success. It is success.
That's,
you know,
right.
It's a component of success. There's no such thing as overnight success. You know, I mean, I have not heard of that one yet. If someone, no. I would love to have him on the show. How did you do it? Maybe you gambled, and even that, it may not be, you know, overnight success. You had to go through some challenges in life, and you had to take some necessary steps to get there. And you talked about quite a few things that are so powerful for audiences, because there's someone out there, plenty of people out there in the world, that may think that their look, their, you know, as you said, you know, you had, you know, you thank God for having you be in this tall. But you know, there are people that are just as tall, there are people that are short. Everybody's got a different look and a good, you know, but, you know, people sometimes undermine what that may be for them. You don't know what that looks like for you. And, you know, I love what you said, you know, and for some of our audiences that may think like, my life is done, I'm over, especially the younger folks, you know, you said you dropped out of high school. It didn't stop you. You see, that's the thing. Like, sometimes people are like, oh my God, it's the end of the world. You know, nothing is set in stone. Life begins every day. You have a new page. Start again. You can do stuff. You went, you got a GED. So what? And then guess what? You got to college. Then you wanted you to be a model. You did. And so that's the thing. And I love what you said, setting goals. I think one of the, you know, as a matter of fact, there's just a show that's going to start airing. We were talking about like the purposes, like what is your purpose in business or in person? And sometimes if you don't have that, you know, a purpose in life and a goal, and you're just going to go winging things, and things are not going to, you know, mash up well with you. And so therefore you're going to be lost. But really, that's a big piece of life that we need all to have. So audiences, if you're watching and listening, you got a success story. I mean, a true success story in the standard term, if you want to call it. But if you hear the story, you see that there were a few things that happened in your life. And those are things that everybody can experience. And it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And again, it gave you the appetite, and you have the ambition of that appetite, where therefore you just want more and more. And there's nothing wrong with that. Now, if I may ask, was it, I mean, obviously someone will be like, well, it wasn't that easy. As we said, it's not overnight. No. But how hard was it to really get to where you are today? Because, you know, I'm sure there were a lot of, you know, bumps in the road, you know, just because people sometimes they dread that. Like, I want it easy, you know, but they're not prepared to face the music and all those bumps on the road. You know, their hurdles are going to happen. And I'm almost positive you had some. So if you don't mind just giving our audience a little bit of that, you know, positivity about like, listen, whatever it is, you know, things can be conquered. So
of course.
You tell us.
So it took me a long time to figure out my purpose. I know that you were talking about, you know, purpose in life. But I mentioned, you know, when you asked me, you know, who I am, I mentioned first that I'm a God girl. And so I believe that I walk in faith, and I also have just an insatiable curiosity. So I believe in following my curiosity. And I did really discern that my purpose on the planet is to just make things better. And so I know that seems very simple, but I do. I approach every day and every situation with the belief that if I look at it, I can possibly make things better. Now, there have been lots of bumps in my road. I don't know if you read this, and I want your audience to be a little aware that I'm about to give you some really strong information. 15 years ago, I was in a horrible accident, and I cut off my right foot. So I was 5 days away from headed to start filming the next season of a show that I was doing called 10 Years Younger, where, and on that show, I helped women. Ultimately, I was a part of a glam squad, and we helped people look 10 years younger. It was on, I believe it was TLC for years. And I was at the beach with my then boyfriend, and we sat at the beach and we watched these people basically jump off this. It was a bit of a cliff, but it's really this huge rock in the water. And I wanted to go do that. And he said, oh, that's crazy. It's so dangerous. And I'm like, well, obviously not. People are standing in line to do it. And I am not someone who, you know, holds up a wall. I want to go and be a part of life. I'm not going to sit here and watch everybody else have fun. And sure enough, I climbed up this onto this huge rock in the middle of the ocean. I jumped, and I jumped wrong. And within seconds, I saved my life, but I cut off my right foot. So it seven surgeries and years later, you think, okay, that was a real pivot in my life because I had to change everything. And that's actually what led me to create the Girly Go Garter, because I thought, okay, if I can't be in front of TV, if I possibly can't walk, what can I do from a seated position? And, you know, I had the idea for the Girly Go Garter, and which is a hands-free purse that you wear on your leg. And so I was using it, or kind of a makeshift one that I had developed, as a mic pack holder, because they continued to put mic packs, basically hang it on my bra. And I was, you know, constantly getting water blisters. It was very uncomfortable. So I needed something for my leg. And again, I had made a crude one, but I felt that there was the kernel of something there. And when I cut my foot off and I found myself in the hospital, I just got really quiet. And I recognized that this was what I was supposed to do next, that I was supposed to bring this, birth this into the world. And if I never walked again, I could do this from a seated position and still, have this goal and find success and do something meaningful. And I'm happy to tell you that the Girly Go Garter is the number one product for people who are insulin dependent. Girls who are insulin dependent use the Girly Go Garter to hold their insulin pump so that they don't have to alter their clothes and dresses. We have undercover police officers who use it for weapons carriage. Of course, we've got huge studio services who do use it as a mic pack holder. But that process was an amazing pivot in my life, and getting to the point where I could walk again. And now people don't even know that I cut my foot off. People have no idea. So if you were to meet me today, you would literally never dream that I spent 10 years in recovery and trying to basically, get my life back together and figure out, how I was going to walk and function on a really, really normal level. So is that a hiccup for you? Is that a hurdle?
I have to say, if someone claims, you can have materialistic stuff, but when it has to do with your health and your body, that's the highest level of potential hurdles that can, affect life, right? And, just listening to you talking about it and being who you are today and where you are today, and that didn't stop you. I'm sure it was difficult and you had to deal with it, but there's some level of acceptance there. There's some level, as you said, faith is a big, part of, of who we are as humans. And the more you have of that, the more you can face life in a better light, right? In a positive way, in a better mindset. And sometimes people kind of lose that, right? With hope and all this thing. And that's the other thing. Like, there is hope. No matter what the situation is, there is going to be, as we say, right? There's a light at the end of the tunnel. And everybody gets into that dark tunnel every now and then. We get in, somehow we find ourselves in this tunnel. And that could be anything from a loss of family, health issues, or even just a basic, financial situation that can happen that can be very detrimental to the people. And again, the economy sometimes go up and down and it affects people. We had a pandemic that destroyed the whole world in a split second, right? So there's all these things that can happen, but it's how we deal with them. It's just the resilience level and the ambition. The thing, it's life. You really are full of life and you are clinging to it and you want more of it. And you want to just be who you are. And that didn't stop you. It kind of maybe give you a deviation a little bit, a stop, maybe just you took a little breather, but that's about it. And that's actually a message for our audiences that life is going to be, as we say, it's not fair. Well, it's not so much that it's not fair. It's just part of life. Those are experiences that we're sometimes there's no way. And we make decisions. Now, you could have easily not done that, but it didn't happen though. It happened exactly how it was supposed to be happening. And it was meant to happen. It did happen. And so you turned that, to something advantageous. You created something, you invented a whole product that is hot, in the environment. And I love what you said, like even the idea of those clips, whatever they put the transmitters. That's what you. Those can be annoying, right? So you solve a lot of problems, So this is the thing, people, when something hits us, there's two ways to look at it. It's like, oh my God, it's the end of the world, or maybe this is an opportunity. You take it, you seize the opportunity, you convert it to something that is, I guess, valuable. And every situation has a positive outcome into it. You just have to look at that.
Yeah, most definitely. And you can't fall off the floor. So when you when you hit the floor really hard, obviously, you can, there's only one way and that's up. And so when things are really, really bad, you have to recognize that the universe is telling you, you need to make some changes. And so that's what you do,
Well, listen, you certainly did. And, thank you for sharing that with us, because that is a big, piece of literally, people sometimes they just need to hear stories because these are stories of hope and really enlightenment and people get, maybe someone right now is sitting in a dark place and you hear the stories like, wow, you know, and here I am complaining about some minor stuff, yeah. You know, well, and so that can change people's life.
It can. And, you know, the thing is I cannot stand the word no. To me, the word no means no right now. But when I hear the word no, I'm like, okay, I mean, don't get me wrong. I accept it and I hear it. But in my mind, I'm like, if I really want to achieve something, that just means that, you know, there must be a way around it. I'm so fortunate that I had an amazing modeling agent when I moved to New York at 17, who really taught me to look at the word no in a very different way. So most models, to be a successful model, you really are only going to book about 10% of what you go after. And so, you know, back in the 80s, when you went on a modeling audition, it was actually called a go-see, right? And now I'm sure they call it something else. But so she actually gave me a chart that she made for all the new models. And she said, you know, here's your chart. Understand that if you can book 10% of what you go after, then we are going to have a very successful ride. So every time you hear the word no, you go home and you check it off, and you know that that just gets you one step closer. It is not a no, it is a step, because you're going to have to take 9 of those steps to get every job. So I have never looked at the word no as, you know, as a closed door. I've always looked at the word no as, okay, that just gets me closer to the yes. So do I like to hear it? No, I actually can't stand the word, but I don't see it as a roadblock or a stop sign. I just see it as me getting closer to what is supposed to happen.
Well, that's another big one. And no is part of life, right? We're going to hear a lot of it, but yeah. You're right. It's not yet, you know, yeah. It's just, it's really what it is. And again, some people can get, you know, almost like stop, you know, in their speed. They just like, that's it. They can't face it. Now, so I've been in sales, you know, in the corporate world. And I have to say, we have a saying, like, you know, salesmanship begins when the customer says no. No is like some part of a lie, right? So you take that and you work with it.
I like that.
Because people are going to tell you no. I think the default is no. I mean, even with our children, we tell them do something, no. You know, when someone, you tell them something like no. And you tell something this way, like why? And, you know, it's almost like a no to that, whatever you claim, right? It's like, that's just how we design as humans. We cannot push the no first before we get a yes. And most people, they just do that by default. And then
yes. You
have to kind of come up, you know, and give them the value, give them the solution, give them, you know, the arguments. And then basically like, so I have a partner and you know, we joke about this. When we have like an idea, one of us throws it to the other and basically we kind of bounce it. We sell it off each other. So if I have to sell it to him, and he's going to give me all the no's that possible. And if I can convince him, then we can go ahead and proceed with whatever that process and, you know, business, you know, thing that we do. So it's like, that's the thing. Like, you know, it's all objections, really. That's all they are. And you can remove those objections if you really want it bad. And I love what you said. If it could be done and someone is doing it, I can do it.
Yeah.
And that's really, by the way, this is not Andy, this is not Hurricane. Everybody out there, you know,
of course.
things are being done, and we can learn things on a daily basis, on a regular basis. You might not know something today. In a couple of days, a couple of weeks, a couple of months, you can go seek some sort of, you know, formation, and now you're an expert in it. You know, you talked about you being in the TV and doing acting right now. That's a whole new thing. Now, it's not so new to you because you've been on under the light and the TV cameras and all the stuff. You've done some of that stuff already. Just a different, I mean, acting is a little bit more role playing and things like that. But you had half or 90% of all that taken off, you know, from your shoulders. Maybe not. You'll tell us more about that. But you know, like, you know, I'm saying, like, so someone like says, I have never been in front of a camera, and it's very like, I'm shy, you know. Maybe, you know, people think that they're shy. We are not shy as humans, because you put us in the right environment and we can just go. You know, sometimes people are shy because they're with strangers, people they're not comfortable. And then you can, and that's a skill you develop too. You can literally go to school and become public speaker from like,
yes,
you know, zero, you know, feeling about being in front of anybody, right? You know, people have a problem talking on radio. People maybe, like, I've had people that may don't want to be in a camera. Like, I don't want to be on TV or on the screen. You know, so there's different people that have different, you know, fears and I guess blockades, but they're all kind of hoaxes. I mean, literally, we can remove those things. So I love what you said about no, it's just not yet, really. It's not yeah. Now, but not, you know, I'm going to do this. So thank you. Now you mentioned something very interesting about your career in the modeling. And I know we're going to deal on the General Hospital and the role and all the stuff. But so just something for that, because modeling is a very brutal world, and you know,
yes,
difficult. And you got to get the right agency and stuff like that. I mean, you made it, and you said it. Thank God for you.
Yeah.
You met the right agency and the right agents. You know, not everybody has that. But any particular advice you want to give to people who want to have that particular career path right now?
Well, the modeling world has changed so much because of social media. Now models don't even need an agency. Models, all you need is a following. So the days of agencies are really waning. So we all have the ability to have our own platform. So you want to start a TV show? You can. You want to be a model? You can. You want to have a radio show? You can. There are no more gatekeepers. Everybody within the sound of my voice has the ability. If you really want to do it, you can do it yourself. You do not have to wait to be chosen, to be plucked out of obscurity, or to be, you know, picked in a lineup. You can do it yourself.
And that, I mean, if there was a value to that one, I mean, it would be in the trillion mark. I mean, it's so powerful because really, as you, I love it, how you framed it. You know, today with the technology, everybody has a way to do it. And we've seen that through YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. People have come up, you know, from basements and from garages and, you know, rooms, bedrooms, and literally closet room, you know, to success and really showing the world what their abilities and the skills. And it's given people the opportunity to really highlight who they are and their creativity. And it is happening. I mean, you know, we are in the show right now, which also can be, you know, qualified as a podcast. That's another world on its own. And these are experts from all over the world that are actually doing these things. And it's amazing the value that you can hear. I mean, you have so many. I mean, from Joe Rogan, I mean, being the top, you know, performer in podcast world to Hurricane, who's a newbie, you know, and many others, right? But here's the thing. We have information out there. There's so much. Just an example. As you said, you can have your own TV show. You can have your own program. You can have whatever you want. You just got to absorb and adapt to the technology and stuff and do things. And by the way, that's what I did literally personally. I started my own radio. I started my own channels. And I'm building from there with the idea that, because I thought about it, like if I have to go out there, who the hell is going to, you know, pick me, right? You know, but I can do something about it and just do it, you know, and make it work slowly but surely and learn and pick up. That's and it's working slowly. And I'm not in a rush. I have my, just like you have the dream.
Yeah.
And I have a goal and it's going to go there. So thank you for bringing that up. Now, you went to QVC. That made a big part of your career path. Now, how did you get into General Hospital? Because you're the spokesperson for them right now.
I am.
So let's talk about that.
Yeah. So, well, this is a great lesson. You know, I mentioned I'm a bonus mom, and I love that my stepchildren get to see this, because life is really about the seeds that you plant, you know? And I think that you kind of touched on this earlier, but the truth is we don't eat the fruit the same day that we plant the seed. So, and many people who listen to me on radio or in other ways hear me say that all the time. So what you want to do is you want to show up every day as your best self, make things a little better, which again, is I think that that's my purpose, and hopefully leave a lasting memory of someone who was there and improved a situation and didn't make it worse. And me getting this role on General Hospital is exactly how that happened. So I mentioned, and you and I both mentioned that I've done, you know, literally decades of television, but it was reality-based television, you know, and reality-based television is very different than scripted TV. Trust me. But I, you know, I'm fortunate that I've worked with hundreds of producers who have gone on from the different shows that I worked on, and they now are working in different areas of media and broadcast and television and creativity. And two of the producers that I used to work with on a show 22 years ago are now on General Hospital, and they remembered me as being someone who was on time and, you know, I was trustworthy, and they could literally depend on me to take on this role with a great amount of gusto. And so they reached out to me after not talking to me for years. They had no idea that I had cut my foot off, zero idea. And they found me on LinkedIn. And actually, it's interesting because one of them had seen that I was a guest host on QVC. And the role that I now have on General Hospital is that of a home shopping host. And my co-host is Morgan Fairchild. Yeah, Morgan Fairchild. You know, I mean, yeah. So What I do actually on General Hospital is I play the role of Pearl, and what General Hospital is doing is actually engaged in a bit of an experiment, because we are all watching television in new and different ways. Most of us are streaming, and you know, the truth is they call it a soap opera for a reason, and that's because soap companies used to pay for it. Right. So if we're doing our best to avoid ads, how do you keep a legacy show like General Hospital on the air? I mean, there are 2 to 3 million people watching this show a day. It's been on the air for 61 years. It's the longest running show in television history. So when this was pitched to me, they said, you know, we've had the storyline of Deception Beauty for the past 3 decades, and the fans have wanted us to bring Deception Beauty to life for years now. And so what they have done is they have slowly engaged in developing in real life all of the fictional products that they developed within the storyline over, you know, the 61 years that the show has been on the air. And when those products are ready for consumers to see them and the fans to enjoy them, they are brought to Home and Heart, where Morgan Fairchild and I actually pitch them, you know, fictitiously on Home and Heart. And then if you go to shophomeandheart.com, you can see the cosmetics, the red light, you know, therapy wand, handbags, jewelry, all of the things that are character driven and that are a part of, you know, your favorite character's existence. And so when this was pitched to me, you know, the concept was like, you know, what would you do if you could have bought Fonzie's jacket? Or, you know, if I knew Rachel and Phoebe and Monica's hair care products, or, you know, I could have figured out, you know, how to get the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air sneakers or whatever it is. So I do think if this experiment works, that it's going to change the way we see television and really consume television, because TV shows, I believe, will get to a point where they launch, but they will be launched in tandem with a website so that you can shop everything that you see within a storyline on the adjoining website. So everything that you see will be consumable.
Genius. Right? I mean, it is. I mean, you know, like we hear about these things where people have their own kind of lines, you know, of things like, you know, people now on social media, they make up their own products and push them. But, you know, it's uncommon to hear it, or not very common to have heard it on a show like that on TV or a TV network, you know, producing products that are actually sellable and really consumable, you know, friendly, where people can actually buy them and just enjoy them for their
daily. And it's within the storyline. So the great thing about, you know, this particular storyline is the fans have watched the development of all this, because fictitiously, like I think about the red light therapy wand, the fans watched the patent process, the packaging process, all of that was a part of the storyline. And the same is true for all the cosmetics and the serums and everything. The fans have in some way been taken in the process. And so now this is a completely different immersive fan experience. They can enjoy kind of what they have seen on television in a whole new way. So I'm very excited to be a part of it. And I do think it's going to revolutionize advertising.
So, I mean, it's already doing it, because as you said, you know, there's one thing, you can place ads or you can generate the revenue to support, you know, the show and everything through something. And I love, I mean, it's, we talk about marketing here, you know, that is whoever came up with the idea is just genius. I mean, because the concept behind, as you said, like how the patent works, right? You know, because you've done it, I've done it. It takes a couple of years. You got to do all the work. You got to get all the researchers and, you know, the attorneys, the fees and all. So there's a lot, and depends on what product you do. It can be even worse. And so the patent process is big, as that's just one thing you mentioned. And you're right. Like, so people saw this whole thing in the actual series, right? Yeah. So they just kind of see the process. And now there's this basically home, you know, network that is selling products. And those are products that are really accessible. It's not even like I'm just seeing them on the show. You can actually have access to them in your own play. Now, you know, and by the way, so it builds credibility. It builds trust, because it's real, because people think, well, it's a movie, but these products are not just in the movie. They're actually available in real life. Right. And so you can actually consume them. And so now, you know, and I'm pretty sure the process that's depicted is the correct process. So therefore it's not like, you know, it's just a hoax. Like, you know, well, that's not how the patent really works. You know, you guide them through. So they incorporated this whole concept within, you know, the script. And that's, I mean, I'm telling you, it is genius. So, again, you know, kudos, chapeau to whoever, you know, has been on the team. I'm sure maybe there's more than one person in this whole thing, but it's amazing because it's changing, as you said, the dynamics. I guarantee you, you'll have some competition in the near future with some other rival or, you know, somebody's going to like, oh, well, they're doing it. Let's do it here.
Oh, yeah. And it's going to become the standard. Yeah.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Oh, yeah. So, it's right. I mean, what's happening now is the new shows that are coming out for 2025, everything is changing. So what we will see, almost everything will be consumable, which is actually exciting to me. I can remember I was completely obsessed with a painting that Carrie Bradshaw in the show Sex and the City had in her apartment. And I did a deep dive trying to figure out where I could get this painting or a copy of it. And it never came to me. But to think now, if there were if there was a website in tandem so that I could literally go and look up anything on the set, anything that she wore, any cosmetics that she, you know, had on, all of that would be available for consumption. I just think it's going to really change the way that we watch and enjoy TV. We're going to be much more, we're going to become noticers. Do you know what I mean?
I'm with you. And it has the social media effect, I think, you know, because really it's got that component, like people are, you know, if you look at TikTok, just because that's like the place, right? You know, now there's TikTok shop, right? It's a big thing. Yeah. Right? And people, like, they get the stuff, they promote it, they wear it, and they experience it with people, and people buy, right? They just get excited about it. And you're doing it in a big, you know, show concept. And as you said, like in the Sex and City, you know, concept where you had that frame that you wanted, that piece of work. I mean, now you can have those, but somehow the shows will have accessories, things that actually are being worn or used, available. You want a duplicate, not a duplicate, you want the same product, you have it. You probably pay the price for it too. You know?
Well, so, maybe. Yeah.
Well, again, you know what I mean? So it depends. I mean, obviously, if it's the piece that, let's say, the actor or the actress wore, that could be, you know, priceless, right? But it could be also just a second, you know, another, you know, not a duplicate. I mean, maybe just another, you know, product that is produced at the same time. So anyways, I mean, it's a very great concept. And you get to actually do the same work you've done in the QVC, technically, and doing it with these, you know, they're not really fictive, you know, product, because they actually exist, you know.
They're real now. Yeah,
they're real. That's my point. Yeah. So you're really selling products, you know, in actual show, which is like, you know, again, genius. I'm trying to get my mind around it, but it's pretty cool. I mean, I love concepts where, you know, it's different, innovative. I mean, talking about innovation.
Well, what's your favorite show to watch? Let's think about the products that might be in the show that you're watching right now.
Well, I mean, I tell you this. I mean, I've been a Star Wars fan, right? So that, yeah. You know, so you know, I have a few items from Star Wars here. But I mean, you know, go to Disney store and you buy some of these things, you can order them. But it's not the same way. I mean, you know, I mean, there's always apparel, things that come out of movies, you know, sure. That's always been the case, but not in the way you have it now, because really these are not the toys, you know, and just, you know, things. These are real products to use as a consumer, whether for your beauty, as you said, the beauty products, you know, the red light therapy. I mean, that's actually, you know, something that we've covered in the network a couple of times, because red light therapy works.
Yes.
You know, I've had the multiple shows about how it is, the benefits, so on and so forth. And there's multitudes of products out there, from top brands to just, you know, imitation, you know, stuff, but it's out there. So these are things that, you know, that are aligned with the current, you know, times that we live in. And so it's just going to change I mean, by the way, you see it in a lot of movies. We actually talked about it, you know, we had a show that we talked about, you know, alcohol and stuff, but we talked about how in, for example, James Bond, you know, with, you know, it's a big thing. I mean, alcohol, martini, right? So it's always, you know, prominent. We talked about the Super Bowl where it's out there. But again, those are movies. And so there's sponsorship. There's, you know, people, brands put their stuff in. Now this, you know, it's not even the brands are doing this. This is the production that's doing, that's creating, generate their own revenue. It's a little different from the old school when you get a company to just, here's a car, show it in the movie, and we're going to pay you for it.
Right.
It's different.
And I definitely think it's different when you're talking about like a weekly. So, you know, it's one thing to experience a movie for a couple of hours and for it to have a lasting impression on you. It's another thing to invest weekly in a new production. And then you're invested in the characters and how they're going to develop and what they wear. And so, you know, people who've been watching General Hospital have been watching for decades. I mean, I just did a fan event in Memphis where many of the fans would come with three generations. There was a granddaughter, you know, a mom, and a grandmother, and they've all been watching the show. So most of the fans of General Hospital, again, 2 to 3 million viewers a day, are highly invested in these people. So I do think that when it comes to like scripted television on a weekly basis, we do have a different level of investment in what they do and if we like them, if we don't like them. So I do think that it is different when it comes to a television show. And the other thing that's really interesting is, you know, television in many ways, especially daytime television, has become so polarizing because there's so much news and so much opinion television that, believe it or not, the pendulum is actually swinging back, and they're creating two new daytime dramas, one coming out next year and the next coming out the year after that. So there is a big shift back to, you know, scripted television, because people are just sick of, you know, hearing the news and everyone's opinion. So I do think it is very interesting.
Well, it is. And thank you for throwing that on the show here, because it is, there's too much of that. Really too much. I mean, a lot of people now are tending away from the news and the regular TV.
Watched the news for 5 years.
I mean, I don't know if you watched the election, but no. I don't watch news. I mean, I'm with you. I mean, I did watch actually parts of the election, last day. But really, like I have this saying that we all know, like, no news is good news. Yeah. And I use it in both ways. Like, you know, really, there's no news that is good out there. You know, and so it's all the same, right? It's, you know, drama. It's bad stuff. People are killing people, and the world is not happy. The economy sucks, and you know, it's just depressing. So I don't want to hear that. I mean, I want, as you said, you want to watch something that you immerse yourself, get to feel it, to enjoy it, and just be there. I mean, again, you mentioned earlier about streaming, right? Streaming is the place to go now. I mean, if you have cable, you're probably not even, you're doing it just maybe for the Weather Channel or something. Even that you can get on streaming, you know, platforms now. So it's become a very different world. So, but I have to say, the team that's behind General, you know, Hospital, and the concept that they're creating, it's definitely, cutting edge, and it's the next level. And they are just going to expand on this. And I love the idea that you are acting, but you actually are experiencing these products. And you can literally, when you talk about those products, you really are talking about the products. You're not just, you know, scripted to just say, you know, the lines, because that's what you're supposed to. You really get to actually enjoy it and be able to talk about it. So it's easier for you to even eloquently express whatever those products are, you know, because I get it. I mean, in the QVC world, I mean, that's what you did, right? You sit, you know the products. Exactly. I mean, I think you're right after this. You have a few lineup, so I know we're gonna be tight on time. But really, you know, that's what you do, and it's amazing. But you know, so now my question to you is, like, is it very similar, Lily, in the show? I mean, it's okay.
It is not. As a matter of fact, I realized that very quickly. You know, the soap operas are amazing. It is baptism by fire, because they produce 250 hours of television a year. The very first day I was on set, I was in scene 47 and 49. They do 50 to 60 scenes a day in two filming blocks, from 5 a.m. to noon, and then from 1 o'clock until 8 at night. It is unbelievable the amount of people, energy, and effort it takes to go through that much dialogue. You get one practice take that's filmed and one actual take. And if you have to do the dreaded third take, it is not good. You are warned about it. And you know, it is very different saying the words that someone else wants you to say. I learned that very clearly. Even if it's naturally something that similar to something that you would say, it is still different when, you know, you are literally saying something that someone else scripted. For example, last week I was on set and I kept forgetting the word new. And they were like, no, new has to be in there. We're talking about Emmy winning writers. There is a reason for every single word. So it is definitely different. There's no doubt about that.
You know, I've always wondered about that. Like, why, you know, can the actors deviate from the script? And, you know, I've heard that before, that really it's verbatim. I mean, so the actors make it look so natural, you know, but, you know, I mean, I had one close encounter with the script, literally, which was a tryout. I went to one of those auditions for an actual role, and they give me a two line to state, you know, and I was basically going to this store, and I was working in the store, and someone comes in, I have to tell them about different types of wines that they had there. So literally you had less than 30 seconds. They show you this the actual line. You got to say it and kind of roll it and role play it rather in a show like you like that you're reading. And I did, and it took well. And unfortunately, I wasn't picked up for this particular role because I didn't have the credentials for it. You know, meaning that I didn't have, they wanted the actual, there's supposed to be a special resume format that you have with certain, you know, stuff. I'm like, okay, well, I have a regular resume. That's
it. So, now you know. So I bet if you were to try again, you would understand the resume process.
Well, no, I did my research. Now I do have one. but it's funny because that's the experience. So you're right. They're very stickler about these things. And, you know, I get it. I mean, there's a message in these things, right? And they want an exact word because there's the whole emotional stuff that goes in. And when you say it, it's one thing. When they say it, is another. I mean, so for example, the way I do my shows, they're not scripted. I don't have questions set. Yeah. I never do. So actually, I'm like the opposite of that. But because I have a problem with this, the concept of being scripted and almost like, you know, tight on that stuff. I mean, it's not a problem. It just, I have not, I guess, you know, worked on it. Because well, that's the other thing. Like everybody has to work on it. And you said it yourself. It's different. You have to memorize your lines. And by the way, someone can say, like, what? You forgot the word new. Folks, trust me, when you actually in the role and, you know, the word skips because your mind is actually working and you're not really just spitting those scripts just as is verbatim. Because remember, it's not just staying in them. You also have to act them, like the emotion,
yes,
the look. So it's not just like, you know, I'm just lining up, you know, a proverb here and saying it. You have to, like, when you say, and you have to show the emotion that goes with it. I mean, I admire the actors when, like, they talk. I mean, they convey that message so eloquently. And as you said, they're not their words. Somebody else's words. So it's a lot of work. I mean, they make it look good. So well, congratulations on the role, by the way. You know,
thank
I mean,
you.
You know, and again, it's been what, a few months now, a couple of months?
Yep, a couple of months. I've got more scenes coming out in December, and then January we'll start all over again.
Well, listen, it's a great journey that you've been on. And again, now this is only TV for you. Now, is there an ambition for the bigger screen?
Oh, I would love to do a movie, but I do know that there's a lot of work that goes into a movie. But yeah, sure. I mean, as you can tell, I don't say no to anything. I mean, I have no idea. I haven't thought about it before, but I never thought I'd be on a soap opera next to Morgan Fairchild either. So I am totally open to that for, you know, without a doubt. Actually, what has my curiosity right now is I am developing a podcast, my own podcast, because I'm completely obsessed with dating. I think modern dating, even though I'm happily married, I think modern dating is just going through some real changes. And so I'm doing a deep dive. My podcast is called The Dating Lab with the Hillbilly Yenta, because that's what my husband calls me. do you know what a yenta is?
I don't. It's a animal?
No.
No.
Okay. That's okay. Okay. So a yenta is actually, it's a Yiddish word that comes from the movie Fiddler on the Roof, meaning a matchmaker. So a hillbilly yenta just means, you know, a Southern or redneck matchmaker. So I'm obsessed with that right now. So that's next. And maybe a movie. But, you know, who knows? One of the things that we talked about a minute ago that I actually am going to come back to for just a second is, you know, I told you I have not been watching the news for a really long time. And I cannot tell you how that has changed my life. Let me just tell you why. Because I am not consuming news in the way that most people do, I ask people what's going on. I open conversations with, you know, I decided a few years ago I didn't want to watch the news. Is there anything happening in your life that I should know about? And it is fascinating how I have made friends from that. I learned so much about people's perspective and, you know, their view of the world. It has in many ways revolutionized my life. So I think that staying curious and asking a lot of questions will probably lead me to, you know, my next big adventure.
Well, thank you for literally doing what you do. And actually, I love that concept. Thank you for going back to that, because you're right. When you don't know what's going on, it's a good icebreaker. You can talk to anyone.
Yeah.
Like, hey, what's new? What's happening? I do it too. Like, I just like, what's going on? I get my news from people, not from
yes.
the news network. Literally, like, oh, is that something that's going on? Yeah, this is,
yeah.
You know, or like sometimes through social media, although like, you know, it gets a little twisted, but you know what I mean? You know, it's not so much through, and even social media, I'm on it, but I'm not really watching too much. I have certain things that I follow that are aligned with what I do, but that's about it. But it's amazing. But I love the podcast concept. And I have to say something. You said, I'm happily married. You know, dating, you know, when you're married, you're supposed to be dating. you're dating your mate, right? So
it's
so
very valid.
We've talked about this in relationships where shows, because a lot of people forget that we got married, so no more dating. Actually, you have to have date night, and you have to do more than just date night. You got to keep that thing going. Otherwise, it's going to get really boring, right? So yeah, and you're right. The world has changed. I mean, we have these apps now. People have to be matched by algorithms. Like, you know, you get a survey, like, you know, it's like robotic stuff. Soon AI will actually match people, right? And I think they have those already.
So they're not matching people. That's the problem. The top 10 dating sites are actually owned by one hedge company. And their goal is to get your $30 a month. That's not to find you love.
Well, that's a big one, right? You know, dating and love are two different separate things. People date for a lot of reasons.
That's a very good point. It's a very good point.
No, but what I'm saying, you know, like sometimes, but the purpose, people want to date so they can find that match, right?
Yeah.
You know, but at the end of the day, people are not really for the same reasons. I mean, you may meet someone that's really seeking that. Sometimes you may not. And this is not the show about relationships. But I love the concept of your podcast because it's real. I mean, we have a couple of podcasts on the show, on the network, that actually talk about relationship. We have the Resilient Relationship Show, and we have also Liam Naden's talk shows. And so we have all these things that, and it's very interesting world out there. So congratulations on that too. Wow. And, you know, I mean, it's another achievement. Now I have one idea that, I don't know, I can see your story as a movie, you know. I mean, think about it. I mean, you do have something there. I mean, maybe that's something that can be producers out there. Hey, you know, just saying.
Maybe. My story is not done. So maybe when I'm dead.
You know, you have a lot of stuff. But again, just something that came to my mind. Because
that's very sweet.
I've said, you know, there's something I've always, when I hear somebody's story, like, you know, I can see it in a book. I can see it in you know, in a movie concept, right? I mean, because, you know, and it's big. It's not light stuff. I mean, you've gone through quite a few, you know, years of expertise and glamour and all this stuff. And there's a lot of stuff for people to actually, and it can be dramatized too. I mean, people can throw in a little bit of twist here and there. You got to write, you know, the right script writer. They can make it work, you know? So, but hey, Now, the book you wrote too.
Yeah.
So 3 times bestseller. Can you tell us a little bit about that one?
So I'm fortunate. It is published in 14 countries and 3 languages. And the book is called Style on a Shoestring. And, you know, I'm really fortunate that my grandmother instilled in me that the way that you present yourself is ultimately going to dictate the way that people treat you. And even though we didn't come from means, my grandmother was a master sewer and she could, you know, whip up a dress in an afternoon. So she was very intent on having us, you know, be polished and pulled together. And, you know, moving to New York at 17, I was in a very glamorous world without a lot of money. And so I had to figure out how to, you know, give myself or present myself with implied value, that what I had on looked, you know, rich and luxe and, you know, stylish, but it was, you know, purchased at a thrift store or, you know, perhaps my grandmother made it or, you know, all of those things. So my book, Style on a Shoestring, is about building a wardrobe in a very economical way that fortifies you so that you can actually achieve your dreams. Because most of us only utilize about 10 to 20% of what's hanging in our closet. And when we open our closet, many times, I see you laughing, many times what's hanging there are it's kind of our failures, right? It's money that we've wasted. It's the people we used to be. It's the things we can't fit into anymore. And the things that are uncomfortable and we don't like them. We used to like them, but that's not who we are anymore. So we've got to get that out of your closet so that when you start your day and you open that closet in your bedroom, what you're confronted with is a wardrobe workforce that is going to give you more confidence, that's going to make you feel empowered, help you linger longer in conversations, look people in the eye, and really use your wardrobe as a tool to helping you achieve your dreams. And that's what my book does.
Brilliant concept, I have to say, because I mean, you just made me laugh there because, you know, you, I mean, everybody watching and listening, they probably that they hid them close by. I mean, because think about it, you look at your closet, it's stacked up with things that you're not really, you just bought because they were on sale or they look good, whatever, and they're there, you don't wear them, like what's going on? I mean, and by the way, I'm not talking about expensive stuff, and some people actually do the expensive stuff too, and it's just a collection. I mean, and there is a world that we live in now, it's very. Talking about keeping up with the Joneses. I mean, now it's getting
Oh,
even
it's fast.
tighter. It's bad, you know, because I mean, everybody is about influence, right? And you know, you got if you don't wear a certain, you know, bag or shoe or dress code, whatever, it's becoming, or you don't have a logo attached to anything you wear. It's kind of like, oh my God. Now, I think in your world of modeling, I get it. In the glamour, I get it. But I mean, the average person is not in that space yet. They have to be like now almost forced to mimic, you know, that look and feel. And sometimes it's not even affordable. So it creates a lot of stuff. So your concept of really having the right wardrobe that makes sense and that is not really breaking the bank, that's a great thing. And so again, I don't know how you come up with these ideas, but they're awesome ideas, you know. So that's very innovative and creative. I mean, again, you're doing stuff, you're changing people's lives through your work and different angles. I mean, really, I mean, you just bringing things to fruition in this world that we need that. So we need a lot more of your. Can we duplicate you somehow?
Oh, stop. You're so sweet. No, you can't duplicate me. I've got, like I said, 46 more years. So no duplications. I'm not done.
Well, listen, but you know, you definitely have, and again, to the current work that you do, when you're still going to touch a lot of folks, you know, in different angles. And you know what? By the way, even the QVC world, right? I mean, they do have great stuff that they, you and I, we briefly spoke about this. I love, I mean, QVC. I mean, literally, I was talking to my son just a couple of days ago because I told him there's the quality, there's the customer service, they stand behind their product, you know, they make it easy for you. You don't have to go crazy. You know, it's literally that's their brand. That's how the signature is. And, you know, you said it, it's funny because you said that they were the original review, you know, world, which now it's everywhere. Everybody, you have to look at the reviews before you get into a product or a place, right? So they did that. So hey, listen, I mean, that's a great world that you're in, and
It's a lot of fun. It's a
it's a
lot
lot.
of fun. I
So
love being able to sell things I love.
well, yeah, but you enjoy the work though. You see, I mean, I can see that you're just eager to do this. It's not like someone like, oh, it's just another day. I'm just gonna go rolling with the punches and make it work. You just love what you're doing, and that's another thing, folks. You know, if you're watching and listening. And you hear this all the time. You have to have passion for what you do to actually do it right and enjoy it, and it's never going to be boring. But if you were doing something that is not, it's just going to be a burden, and you might not really be the happiest person. So I can see the smile, you know, I can see the energy, and it's happening because you do love what you do. And even now, you're doing the podcast for the General Hospital, but you're also doing your own stuff, and you're diversifying your work. And that's the other thing. Like someone can say, like, well, how do you do all? I mean, it's a lot of work. How do you manage it all? I mean, just time management is a big deal. Can you give some quickly? And I know we're coming out to the end of the hour here, but just come a little bit of brief to people, like because sometimes people are like, oh, I can't do all this stuff. You're doing a lot.
I have to disagree. I think that there's plenty of time. It's how you choose to spend it. There's plenty of time. You have to be determined to stay healthy. And, you know, I had a goals list and I continue to have a goals list, but it's just a matter of how do you want to spend your time. When I am, you know, on my deathbed at 101, I don't want to think about, you know, anything I didn't do. So I don't want to think that I missed out on a thing. So I just think that there is time. You just need to figure out how you want to spend it. So every day I have a list of what I want to get accomplished that day. It's really simple. I do it on my phone before I go to bed, all the things that I need to do, all the things that I want to do, and I just check them off. That's it.
People have a bucket list. You have a daily bucket list. I mean, I mean, but I have to say, you probably have a book as a bucket list with everything that you want to do, and that's a great thing. By the way, that's really what we need to be, folks. You know, life is, you know, beautiful if you look at it that way, and there's plenty to do, plenty places to be, plenty of people to meet, a lot of things to achieve, and we can all do it. And it's not always money. It's because a lot of people find the excuse of money or time. Those are the two common ones. You can do things with no money. You can do things. I mean, Walking around is not going to cost you anything. So some people say, like, well, I don't have time to work out because I can't go to the gym. I can't afford the gym. You can walk. You can walk in your watching TV and walk, right? So there's a lot of things. Time, as you said, people scroll on their phones right. for like 2 hours. You can do things that are more, you know,
absolutely.
Productive in those 2 hours. So thank you for sharing that idea of, like, you know, there's plenty and you can do it and we can plan for it day to day. So we're coming out to the end of the show here. Anything that you want to just, you know, leave our audiences with?
Well, I appreciate you asking. If anyone's interested in anything that I do, of course, you can go to andypaige.com, and that's andypaige.com. And my invention, the Girly Go Garter, is up and going. Of course, it's been on the market for over 12 years, thegirlygogarter.com. And I encourage listeners, especially GH fans, General Hospital fans, to go to shophomeandheart.com so that you can really see all the incredible things that are being developed within the show for the fans.
Those are available for purchase, correct? I mean,
yeah,
if they went in.
Right, so now, the you shop can go there right now. Yep.
Wow. All right. Well, there you go, folks. I mean, if you love shopping and you, and by the way, these are not just, I mean, obviously, if you're a fan, that would be even better. But if
it's for anyone. Still,
yeah. You could use them daily. So, hey.
Of course.
Go for it. All right. Well, listen, Andy, it's an honor, privilege, and, you know, just having you here with us and sharing your extensive, you know, expertise here in this world and really just the work you do. So thank you so much for being
here. You're
with us.
So welcome. I've enjoyed it. I really think that you are a blessing. You are a gem. And I'm so proud of all of that you've accomplished in the past few years. You had an idea and you're really turning it into something special. So I think that's great. Congratulations.
So I'll take that. I'll take the compliment. I appreciate it. Well, there you have it, folks. You know, we're coming to the end of the show with our guest today, Andy. And do follow, do watch the series, and definitely go do the shopping and check out the actual links in the description of the show so you can connect with her direct. I'll have all her stuff so you can be connected directly with her. That being said, I'm Hurricane H. We'll be talking soon with a new show on the topic. Coming up.